Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
Came and stole the word out of you? What caused you to start questioning and doubting the word of God and not obey the truth? Then he says in verse 8, this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. In other words, it wasn't God that did that to you. Well, it didn't seem like the prayer was, well, that wasn't God that was holding up your prayer. Daniel 10, Daniel stood for 21 days and fasted and prayed. And the angel shows up on the 21st day and says, Daniel, from the first day you set yourself to receive, I was sent with the answer. It wasn't God holding it back. He said, but the prince of Persia has withstood me these 21 days. But then he says this, but because of your words, I am here to give you this message. In other words, because you wouldn't quit. You wouldn't let the devil steal the truth. You wouldn't stop obeying the truth. Your word and faith and confession gave me the power to defeat that demon and bring this word to you from God Almighty. I'm going to tell you, the moment you release your faith, God is moved in your behalf. There are devils out here that are in this race trying to knock it around. But as you continue to speak and pray and praise and dance and shout and count it all joy and refuse to quit and keep your eyes on Jesus and keep running the race, God is going to get that manifestation to you. He's on his way now. It's coming. He goes on and he says this. He says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know what he's saying here? The Amplified reads it like this. A little leaven, a slight inclination to error or a few false teachers leavens the whole lump. It perverts the whole conception of faith or misleads the whole church. A little inclination to error kills your faith. You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to say, well, I wouldn't be shouting that much if I was you. A little inclination to error. Well, you know, that word of faith stuff don't work like it used to. A little inclination to error. Well, I wouldn't be quite as bold about that if I were you, because what if it don't happen? A little inclination to error. What if you out here and you're shouting all these victories and you don't get it? It's not my problem. If I'm in heaven, I don't care whether I got it or not. Hallelujah. Amen. I always tell people, what if I do get it? What if it don't work? What if it does? Amen. See, folks, this is the thing. If we get this down, we would be more shocked if it didn't work than when it does work. A lot of people, they're shocked. They got healed. Oh, my God, I got healed. Hallelujah. I planted a seed, and God brought a miracle in. Whoa, hallelujah. You know, we should be believing that and celebrating that, but it should not be a shock to us that it worked. So he says, don't let a little error come in and cause your faith to be brought down where it won't work like it's supposed to. Keep it out. Keep it out. The moment the thought hits your mind that it's not working, cast it down. The moment somebody says, well, I wouldn't be quite as fanatical as that, you should get in their face and jump and shout and praise God and quote about 30 scriptures to them. They'll leave you alone. Amen. They will. They'll quit coming around your house. Hallelujah. But you know what? When you get your breakthrough, they'll start showing back up again. Amen. Because the word's working for you and they want it to work for them. Come on now. Listen to what he says. He says, this persuasion doesn't come, a little leaven leavens whole lump. But listen, look what the apostle says. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. In other words, he says, I have confidence that you're not going to let the enemy stop you from what God's called you to do. I'm not going to get embarrassed over the things of God. Are you listening to me? You can't persecute me and stop me from doing this. In fact, when you start persecuting me, I'm going to rejoice even more, because Jesus said I'm to rejoice when I get persecuted and all kinds of people saying false things about me, because great is my reward in heaven. Amen? Back in the early days, they don't do it so much anymore, but back in the early days, whenever I left here back in the late 70s and stuff, I went out and I was teaching faith, and the people wasn't hearing it where I was from. I went straight to a place where nobody was hearing anything. They'd never heard this. And then Brother Hagin put a radio broadcast on in my local area, and they marked me by that. And they started calling me a Haginite, because they were against this word of faith teaching, and it was a slander towards me. And so they would come up and say, "You're just a Haginite," thinking I would get upset. And I'd run over and hug him and shake her hand and say, "Thank you, praise God, what an honor to be lumped into the same category as a Kenneth Hagin. Glory to God." And they would look at me and say, "You're just too silly and stupid to know you're getting persecuted." I said, "No, I'm just too smart to let it bother me." Hallelujah. Amen. See, you're going to have to learn. You have to have confidence. This is not going to stop me. It's my body that needs healed, not yours, so I'm not going to let you stop me. It's my bills that need to get paid, not yours, so you're not going to stop me. It's my breakthrough that I need. It's not yours, so I'm not going to let you stop me. It's my miracle that I need, not yours, so you're not going to stop me. You don't have anything to do with it. God called me to run this race, and I'm running it not for you or anybody else. I'm running it for Jesus, and I'm going to get to where he called me to get and do what he called me to do, and give him the glory all the time I'm doing it. Amen. Look what he said in Galatians chapter 6. He said this in verse 7. He says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will reap to the flesh and corruption, and he that sows to the Spirit will reap a life everlasting." What's he talking about there? He's saying what you do during the battle determines your outcome. While you're running this thing, if you sow to your flesh, what's sowing to your flesh? Complaining, talking doubt, unbelief, whining, crying, blaming God, questioning God, siding in with the deceiver. That's sowing into your flesh. That's why you got to put to death those evil deeds that are prompted by your flesh, and you got to bring it in. What's sowing to the Spirit? Praying in tongues, worshiping God, speaking your faith, declaring the end from the beginning, praising God even when it doesn't look like you should be praising God when you get an evil report, praising God when you get a good report, sowing into your spirit the things of God, keeping yourself strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, saying filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, walking in the Spirit, praising God and magnifying God, letting the greater one have his place on the inside of you. When you sow into your spirit, you'll reap of the things of the Spirit. The anointing of God will take a hold of you in your weakest moment and strengthen you and lift you up and bring you on. You'll run this race with the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, he says this, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." It's time to reap, folks. It's time to reap. It's time to reap. I had a friend. He's 2-3 years older than I, and he and his daughter ran all the time. And so a few years back, he decided he wanted to run a half marathon, a little over 13 miles in the city there in Huntington. And so they do it in November, and it's cold. And so he'd been training all year long. And so I said, "You sure about this?" He said, "I've got it, praise God." And so he got out there and he started running. And so I talked to him later, and he says, "You know, about the 8th mile, I could feel it." He said, "I got the 10th mile in." And he said, "My mind was telling me to quit." And he said, I'm just trudging along. And he said, "I got to the 11th mile," and he said, "I'm 2 miles away." They'd run back into Marshall Stadium and around the track and finish. And he said, "My whole body and mind was telling me, quit, you can't do this." And he said, "But I looked up and my daughter was there, and she started yelling, 'Come on, Daddy, you can make it, you can make it.'" And she started running along shouting with him, "Come on, you're almost there. Come on, don't forget what you're here for. Come on, keep running, keep running, keep running." And he said, "She kept me going. And he said, "She got me to the corner. I turned and all of a sudden I looked up and there was the stadium, and I could see the end of what I was out here for. And it all came back." And he said, "I picked up the pace," and he said, "I finished the race, and I came in there with my hands lifted, shouting. He said, but I was so thankful to God that my daughter got me about the 11 mile marker and started encouraging me. Let me tell you something, folks. When you think you've gone and you can't go any farther, that's when you need to let the Holy Ghost come on you and get a fresh anointing from God and get the Spirit refreshing come down on you. And the Holy Ghost will start saying to you, you can do this. You're almost there. Come on, get your eyes back on the finish line. Come on, you're in this to win this thing. Come on, you're not in this to quit. You've got more in you than you think you have. Your faith is stronger than you think it is. Your shout is better than you think it is. God is on your side. He called you to finish this thing. You've set yourself to do it now. Get there. Hallelujah. And he will begin to show you again the end of what you're after. And it's time for us tonight to get fresh anointings of the Holy Ghost. It's time for us tonight to let God begin to revive us. It's time tonight for us to begin to say, Lord, I'm going to get to the end of this thing. I don't know what you've been running. I don't know if you've gotten off on a wrong trail, but I'm going to tell you what, it's time to get back on the right path. It's time to get back on your faith tonight. It's time to make camp meeting a night of renewal, a night of stirring, a night of focusing back in. See, sometimes we get blurred vision. Well, tonight the Holy Ghost wants to get your vision straightened out and let you see what he's called you to do and what he's anointing you to do. And you need to see yourself. If you're needing healing tonight, you need to start seeing yourself healed and well, praise God. If you need a breakthrough, you need to see it breaking through. If you need a miracle, you need to see it manifesting. If you need something to happen in your family, you need to see it happen, hallelujah. And how am I going to do that? Well, you're not going to do it by your might nor your power. You're going to do it by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The same thing God spoke over in Zechariah, he's speaking to you and me now, is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You run this thing in your own strength and you'll get tired and wearied and defeated. But if you'll begin to stir up the anointing of the Spirit of God and get a fresh anointing from the Lord, I'm going to tell you what will happen to you. The anointing will come on you just like it did on the prophet, and you can outrun the king's chariot. Amen. The anointing will come on you like it did on David, and you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. The anointing will come upon you, praise God, and you'll be able to do things that you didn't know you could do, and God will get you through to the other side. Anybody here ready to get some fresh anointing on you? Come on, stand with me all over this house. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to lift your hands up to the Lord right now. I want you to begin to refocus on the things that God has called you to do. Come on, I want you to refocus on what you've been believing God for. I want you to refocus on the race you're to run. Come on, don't worry about somebody else's race. That's not your responsibility. Come on. Hebrews 12 says, let us run the race that the Lord has set before us. What's he called you to do? It's not a time to quit. It's not a time to get frustrated. It's not a time to compromise. It's not a time for you to begin to just mellow out or meek down or to get a little quiet or not make so much disturbance. It's time for the church to rise up and be the church. It's time for us to act like believers, praise God. It's time for us to be city-shaking, nation-changing, world-conquering believers full of the anointing of the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen?
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.